Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Private kind of revival. And somebody said that revival, I don't care which one you're talking about, it begins with the individual believer. Amen? So we all need reviving because life has a way of causing you to get down and get depressed and feel despondent. I mean, things can happen, you know? Somebody said if it ain't one thing, it's another. Stuff can come up just when you think you look at the road ahead and it looks like smooth sailing. Amen. Good road, good Texas road. Amen. Not Louisiana road. You got good Texas road ahead of you. No potholes and all of that. Amen. And you think everything is going to be clear sailing, but out of nowhere, you can get a phone call that can disrupt your day and your week and your month. Amen. You can get an email or text message that just messes things up for you. Amen. And so life has a way of getting you down. And that's why I know every believer at some point along life's way will need revival. You never get so spiritual or so holy that you don't experience those moments in your walk with God where you need revival. Do I have a witness today? Amen. Amen. And so we want to clear the way so that revival can happen. And what we learn in this passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we learn that there are some conditions and some things that can be present in us that will hinder revival from coming. Just the other day, those of you who follow me on Facebook, you saw a post that I put of a pastor, a very prominent pastor, a pastor who pastors a whole lot of people, but he attempted suicide. He tried to take his own life. And that's happening in the church more and more. That's why you ought to, I challenge you, I encourage you. Can I be real with it? I beg you to pray for me as your pastor. Because the devil knows that if he can attack and destroy the pastor, he can always take a few folk with him. Amen. So lift your pastor up in prayer. This pastor attempted suicide. I mean, all the folk on the outside looking in thought that he had it all together, that everything was all right. Little did they know that the one that they were taking their burdens to, the one that they were going to share their marital problems and financial problems and children problems, little did they know or even care that he had problems of his own. And so there he was, a pastor in need of revival. So please understand that from the pulpit to the pew, there comes a time in all of our lives when we need revival. So we want to make sure we get the stuff out of the way that can hinder revival from coming. We told you last Sunday, amen, that one of the things that will hinder revival from coming is, and I'm going to say it, you may not agree, but I think I'm right about it. I'm going to say it, the biggest sin in the Bible is pride. Somebody thought I was going to say murder. Somebody thought I was going to say something else, but the scripture is clear in my understanding of all of the things that God hates, and you'll find it in Proverbs where Solomon says that the number one thing that God hates is pride. In those seven abominable sins, pride is at the top of the list, and then it goes a little further because it says not only does God hate pride, he even hates a proud look. You can look too proud. Y'all ever met folk like that? You know, when they walk in the room, you just are able to discern that they think they're all that in a bag of chips. They're untouchable. They're better than everybody. Yeah, y'all, come on. Y'all talk back to me. Y'all ever met folk like that? If you ain't saying nothing, you might be that person. Amen. But pride will mess you up. Y'all, I've been pastoring Pleasant Hill for 26 years. And let me say this, that if you haven't heard anything I've said in 26 years, please hear me today. If you want to mess up your life, get full of pride. If you want to get God against you, get full of pride. If you want everything that you've worked on, everything that you've accomplished to come falling apart, get full of pride. What is pride, Pastor? Pride is when you think more of yourself than you should. Pride is when you think that you are the best, that nobody is better. Amen. Pride is when you are arrogant and feel that because of what you know or who you know or what you have or how you look, amen, you think that it makes you better than somebody else. God, tell your neighbor, God hates pride. He hates it with a passion. And I told you last Sunday that he hates it. He hates it because pride promotes self rather than God. Pride comes to church, but pride really ain't interested in glorifying God. Pride is interested in glorifying self. Amen. Pride doesn't consider God in one's lifestyle. Pride does not consult with God in decisions. Pride does not desire to serve and worship God before self. Pride is often characterized by selfishness, stubbornness, and worldliness. Pride does not genuinely seek God nor seek to please God. I'm trying to help you identify what pride is. And I'm trying to help you identify it not in your neighbor, but in yourself. Pride. And then I told you this because generally we think of pride as it relates to the secular things, the creature comforts and all of that. But you can also have what we call spiritual pride. You can feel like, amen, that because of your relationship with God or because you're so worded up and you know so much scripture and you pray so much and you speak in tongues and all of that, you can fool yourself into believing that makes you better than somebody else. But, amen, whatever kind of pride you want to talk about, God hates pride. He hates it. And then I told you last Sunday that not only does God hate pride, I told you that pride harms the individual. I'm going to talk about humility in a minute, but this is Joseph Garner's definition of humility. I didn't read this anywhere. I didn't hear it anywhere. This is a definition that the Lord himself dropped in my spirit. My definition of humility is being open to being humiliated and not be indignant about it. Let me say it again. Being open to being humiliated and not getting indignant about it. For those of you who come to Bible study, you've heard me say 1,000 times that whenever you study something from the Word and whenever you feel like you're getting something in the Word, how many of you found out that God will put you to the test? Amen. On the heels of what I preached last Sunday, God put me to the test on Friday, and I failed miserably. I'm not going to tell y'all what I did, amen. I've told a few responsible people, but I ain't telling nobody else, amen. I will just tell you that the test came, and your pastor failed miserably. I failed so miserably that I got down in my spirit and I prayed all day, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. Amen. Because somebody did something to me that I felt I didn't deserve. Amen. See, if I keep talking, I'm going to tell it. And some of y'all sitting back there and said, please tell it, please tell it. But I'm not going to tell it. Amen. I messed up real bad. Because what they did to me, I felt like I didn't deserve that. But see, that's pride. Because humility says, why not me? Do you understand, my brothers and sisters, that whatever can happen to somebody else, it can happen to you? Oh, I got some witnesses in here. Do you understand that whatever happens, watch this, I ain't gonna get a lot of amens right through here. Whatever happens to somebody else's child can happen to your child. I tell y'all, be careful, amen, how you look down on folk on your way up. Somebody said you may have to look into some of those same faces on your way down. Whatever can happen to somebody else can happen to you. And you gotta really get that in your spirit, because when something happens that you're not comfortable with, or that you feel you don't deserve, or that you're bigger than that, amen, it can cause you to act real ugly. You can surprise yourself. But I stand here on this Sunday morning, amen, because I serve a merciful God. Anybody else here? Come on. You had to come in here real humble, because you know you messed up this week. But you can come in here and sing anyhow and pray anyhow and praise anyhow, because we serve the kind of God who will look beyond your faults and see your needs. Come on. That's if you have a repentant heart and a repentant spirit. Now, if you can do stuff and not feel bad about it, you probably need to go back. Amen. But when you're convicted in your spirit because of wrong that you've done, chances are you've got a good relationship with God. He hasn't given up on you. He's still working out. Nudge your neighbor and say, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Pride will harm the individual. Humility is being open to humiliation without getting indignant about it. Let me tell you something. You've got to watch the movement of God. I thank God that I've learned how to watch the movement of God. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that when I read scripture, I take note of how God moves. But not just by reading scripture. As a pastor, I'm privy to stuff that many of you are not privy to. I'm privy to, amen, stuff that happens in the lives of my church family, amen. And a lot of times I see God moving. And let me tell you about this humility and pride. I have discovered, by watching the movement of God, I've discovered that wherever you have pride, that's where God will allow humiliation to come. Did y'all hear what I said? Wherever you have pride, or whatever you're proud about, that's where God will allow the humiliation to come. If you are proud as a peacock about how you look, God will let ugly sneak up on you. That's why I normally use a manuscript, because I may say anything. If you are too proud about your children, think they're better than everybody else's children, that's where God will allow humiliation to come. If you are so proud about your money or your car or whatever it is, ungodly pride, that's where God will allow humiliation to come. I'm just telling you that pride will harm the individual. God hates pride, but pride will harm the individual. And then I told you last week that pride causes a person to forget God. Because you somehow fool yourself into believing you've been making it by yourself. This job I have, amen, I went to school and studied hard and graduated magna cum laude and summa cum laude. And I heard somebody say, some of you just graduated. Thank you, Lordy. But however you graduated, amen, you fool yourself into believing that you have that good job because, oh, I was smart. Amen. I was in the honors college, and I was brilliant, and I'm a genius, and my resume is so replete with great things. That's how I got this job. Do you know what you've just done? You have nudged God out of the picture. And is there anybody here who knows that God doesn't like to be nudged out of the picture? The Bible says he's a jealous God. The Bible says that he's not going to share his glory with you or nobody else. That's why in everything good that happens to us, you better be willing to say, God did it. God opened the door. God made the way. God did it. This job, God did it. This car, God did it. This house, God did it. My children's success, God did it. Be willing to give him the praise. Where are my praises at? Who found out that when you give God the praise that is due him? Choir said, every time I turn around, he'll bless you again. Oh, bless his name. Oh, bless his name. And then the third thing I told you last week is that not only does God hate pride, and not only does pride harm the individual, I told you that God chastens the proud. And we'll find in Proverbs 29 and 23, it says, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Did y'all hear what I said? A man's pride will bring him low. And all that is God showing you that he's in charge. All that is God reminding you that he deserves the credit. He deserves the praise. Amen. So you've got to get rid of pride. And then that brings us to our lesson today on humility. Solomon, I reminded you last week, has just completed the temple that God wanted built. This was a prime opportunity. Think about it. He has constructed this grand temple for God. Don't you know how easy it was for Solomon to have been lifted up in himself and walk the streets of Jerusalem and point to that temple and say, look what I did. Look what I built. Look how beautiful it is. Amen. I did that. Come on, we've all talked like that before. I did that. But thanks be to God. Instead of him getting lifted up in himself, he gives God the glory. Now, I want you to keep your Bibles open because there's something I want to show you. And I've got a plane to catch, so I'm going to cut it short today. But I want to show you something that we often miss when we read 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. When we read 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, and we love to recite it, we hold it dear, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Whenever there's trouble in the land, we run to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. But I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, just one chapter prior to that. Amen. One chapter prior to that, I want you to see something. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And look at verse 14. Now, Solomon has constructed this great, marvelous temple for God. And the reason we know he is not lifted up in himself is because the first thing he does after it's completed is he builds an altar. And in verse 14, we see that he prays a prayer to God. Now, keep in mind 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. But what we often miss is that God talking in chapter 7 is in response to Solomon talking in chapter 6. I tell you, you know, that's why I try when I'm talking about prayer and teaching about prayer. You know, most times we pray, we think prayer is just us talking to God. But somebody said prayer is a dialogue, which means after you've said what you're going to say, you need to stay there long enough to let God talk back to you. How many of you know God will talk back to you? Amen. Amen. So here in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, let's look at it, starting at verse 14. This is Solomon praying. He says, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth. Tell your neighbor, that's worship. Amen. Which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Verse 16. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him. Tell your neighbor, you need to remember the promises of God. And some of you, amen, don't realize it, but you're winging it on mama's on promises God made to your mama. Some of you are still above water today
because God is honoring some promises he made to your daddy. Y'all real quiet, amen? Come on, how many of you are thankful your mama prayed for you and your daddy prayed for you? And Solomon says, God, amen, as you please remember the promises you made to my father David, that which thou hast promised him, verse 16, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law as thou hast walked before me. Verse 17, now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified. Let me hear the church say verified. Which thou, that means prove it. Don't you hear? Amen. Try me now, saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. God, prove it. He says, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? He's still honoring God. Because he's saying, in essence, I built this great, grand temple for God. But God, I know you well enough to know that as grand as this building is, it's not able to contain all that you are. Oh, bless his name. Verse 19, he says, have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof, amen, thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant has made, amen. And then go down to verse 22. He says, if a man sin against his neighbor and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, he says, then hear thou from heaven and do and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. But here we go, verse 24. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. Verse 26, this is Solomon talking to God. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land which thou hast given thy people for an inheritance. And he goes on and on and on. And I'm getting touched right here, because what we read in chapter 7 and 14, when God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, in response to Solomon's prayer, because you've honored me by building this temple, because you've worshiped me and prayed to me, amen, I'm going to honor, amen, your request, because, amen, I'm a merciful God. And I just wanted to close right now by letting somebody know that no matter how far out you've gone, no matter how badly you've messed up, no matter how much you've sinned, you ought to praise God right now that you can go to him and say, Lord, I messed up. Lord, I got off track, but I heard David say, your mercy endures forever. And is there anybody here today who has ever had to go to God and confess that I messed up? I missed the mark. I did what I shouldn't have done. I said what I shouldn't have said. I thought what I shouldn't have thought. But you're here this Sunday morning because the same God woke you up this morning. He put running in your feet and clapping in you. I dare you sit on him. I dare you not give him praise. I dare you not thank him for his mercy. Thank God for mercy today. Solomon said, Lord, if we mess up, if we can just get to the church If we can just get to the church, if we can just, amen, get to the altar, if we can just call on your name, please show up. Is there anybody here today? Everybody standing. I'm done. Everybody standing. Is there anybody here today who wants to make that confession? Lord, I missed it. I messed up. But I'm so glad that you're a God of mercy. I'm so glad that if I'll humble myself, pray and seek your face, repent and turn from my wicked ways, you promised Solomon you'd heal the land. You'd open the windows, pour me out a blessing. You'd make a way out of no way. You'd heal my body. You'd deliver my children. You'd bless my finances. You'd promote me on my job. You'll make my enemies leave me alone. You'll ease my troubled mind. You'll help me in my neighborhood. Come on, where are my folk who need a blessing from the Lord? I want to challenge you to get rid of the pride. You can never win being prideful. Y'all have heard me say it in Bible study, that one reason my enemies will not defeat me is because I'm not going to let them out-humble me. Sometimes I get lifted up in myself and I say the wrong thing and do the wrong thing. Amen. That's the part that comes with this flesh. But I thank God he's given me the wisdom to be able to say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I missed it. I messed up. And the good news of the hour is that he will forgive you. He'll heal your land. What land? Your home. Your family, your job, he'll do it today. If you're here, son of man, son of woman, son of boy, son of girl, without Christ in your life, I want to introduce you to a God who's a God of mercy. He's a God who will hear and answer prayer. I see you, my sister. Come on. I want to introduce you to a Savior who knows every hurt that you have. He knows every problem that you have. He's experienced every pain that you're dealing with. He's sensitive to your needs. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to come. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You can be saved today. Why don't you come? Secondly, there may be a backslider. You got off track. Amen. Like I got off track this week. But the good news is that if you'll repent, if you'll tell God you're sorry, he'll give you another chance. We're all of my another chance folk. Another chance folk. Amen. And then last but not least, there's somebody here. Maybe you're new to this area. You know God. He's real in your life. You're just looking for church where you can grow in grace. You can grow in the knowledge of who God is. Amen. If that's you, we invite you to come just as you are. We're going to sing. We're praying. Amen. If you're here, come on, join our sister. Come
we
on.
We offer Christ to you.
Yes.
Oh, my brother. We offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister.
He will give you brand new life.
He will give you brand new life. New life abundantly. So come. Come on.
We're waiting. We're waiting. If you're here, come on.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
K-A-Y-T, Lake Charles, 100.1.